I think it's safe to say that outside the Bible, Jonathan Edwards' publication of The Life of David Brainerd is the most influential book on missions in modern history.
It said that there wasn't a domestic or foreign American missionary who didn't have this book in his saddlebag or in his trunk.
Edwards wasn't publishing The Life of Brainerd to show what an exemplary missionary looks like, but what an exemplary Christian looks like.
He's a guy who's out in the woods trying to share the gospel with Native American Indians. He's all by himself. He gets lonely. He gets self-doubt.
If The Life of Brainerd was as depressing for earlier generations as it is for us, then the question to be asked is, why did earlier generations continue to read it? And why was it continued to be printed?
He brings his own broken experience, his own weaknesses, his own foibles with him, and he does something extraordinary. And he wouldn't want to do that in life.
So today we are going to continue our focus on leaving a legacy. And of course we've talked about the Queen of England, who's having her Diamond Jubilee. We're having our Diamond Jubilee next year. Just saying, we need to get ready for it. And then of course we talked about Billy Graham, the great Billy Graham, who is going to be 100 years old next year. He's turning 99. He's not preaching, but my goodness, can you imagine? And so I wanted to continue on with this theme about legacy and leaving a legacy. But I came upon a book. It's sort of hard for me to be looking at it. Let me just sort of turn. There's a book that I came upon called The Hidden Smile of God. And it's an awesome little book. It's just looking at three people. It's looking at John Bunyan. It's looking at William Cooper, who is the one who wrote There's a Fountain Filled with Blood. And then the third one was a gentleman named David Brainerd. Had anyone ever heard of David Brainerd? I mean, I have a degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. And maybe I was snoozing that day. But I don't know that I ever knew about David Brainerd. And the fascinating thing about him is that he's just the kind of person that we need to be talking about. And I'll tell you why. It's because I think sometimes we get wrapped up in the superstars. Even in the disability industry, I work for one of the superstars. She's a wonderful woman, Joni Erickson-Tada. But the danger that we always run is when we look at a superstar, be it in any field, we think, we could never do that. I could never do that. But there's proof that God can use superstars, but he can use people just like us, too. Now, his name is David Brainerd, just a little short. Actually, that film that we saw the clip from, dug it up, found it on Vimeo, rented it, and it's fascinating. It happens to be about an hour long. I don't know that we ever would want to gather and do a special showing, but it's a fascinating look. And just a regular guy who had a tremendous impact on missions. He is a superstar in the eyes of God. This is why we need to be studying him. He was born in 1718. So next year that would be 400 years. 400 years we're still talking about him. Is that in itself not like, wow, like 400 minutes, I mean talking about being 400 minutes or 400 seconds after they met me. But 400 years is significant. Now he was the sixth child of Hezekiah and Dorothy Brainerd. That was her second marriage. She had a child from a first marriage. Hezekiah was a politician and a well-to-do family. Relatively well-to-do family. Lots of kids. I think he had three more children after. But the parents both died before he was 14 years old. Now that's a major event, right? You're 14 years old, are you able to live on your own? No. He goes to live with his sister. Actually, he gets saved at age 21. So he inherits a farm, but he, because the family is well-to-do and had property. But he decides, no, no. And just even the whole story about how he gets saved is basically the Lord just calls upon him while he's riding through the forest. And you can do that too, right? We were supposed to lead people to the Lord, but the Lord doesn't need us, right? He can work directly. But he wants to go to Yale. And he wants to go to Yale for ministry. And he gets accepted at Yale, and he goes. The problem is, he makes an offhand comment about one of his professors, and it gets back to him, and they expel him. He is already starting to struggle with some health issues. Had measles, even of that short amount of time that he was in school at Yale, he was sick most of the time. And then he's expelled and tries his darndest to get back into Yale, and they have none of it. They will have none of it. They do not want him back. So, like many times in our lives, when we have a plan and it just the door closes, what do you do now? Well, it just so happened that he met some people who wanted to help him become a missionary. A missionary, not like we think of missionaries get on a boat and go overseas. At that point, in the 1700s, we still had Native Americans here. So, I assume your family tree is rather interesting, but we're talking about David Brayton right now. Okay, he becomes a missionary to the Native American tribe, the Delaware tribe. They were a tribe, but that is on November 25th of 1742. Now, in 1742, can I go to the next? I wanted to sort of switch on that there. He contracts tuberculosis, TB, which is a horrible disease. Now, most of us have been vaccinated probably at an early age. But the problem now is diseases like tuberculosis that used to be just a death sentence. They're coming back for two reasons. People are not vaccinating their children because they're thinking that there's at least evidence that it's possible that inoculations of young children have a lot of mercury in them and do cause autism. I know that in our family, we have a relative with not one, but two autistic children. And you wonder why this is, because when I was growing up, we had inoculation. And I don't remember that we had any autism. And now it's quite prevalent. But at the time, there wasn't an inoculation, and he dies of it. He died in the home of Jonathan Edwards. Now, Jonathan Edwards is like a pillar just in Christian history. And can you imagine? You have someone who's not a family member who has a deadly disease, and you bring this person into your home. And you have 10 children and a wife and another. And he has a daughter, 18 years old. Her name was Jerusha, who cares for him. Not like, okay, mom, dad, okay. She wanted to care for him. Knew he was dying. He then passes away. She, in the process of this, contracts tuberculosis and passes away. Can you imagine bringing someone into your home to care for them and your child dies. This story. How did I not hear this? How did I not know about this? It just, the more you hear about it, it just, they considered it an honor to care for this man, this dying man. 18 years old, my gosh. It was a short 29 years, 4 months, 19 days. And only as a believer, only not as a missionary. Why has Brainerd's life made such an impact? We have to sort of ask that, right? Well, Edwards published his diaries. I think I have that up there. You can purchase them now for 99 cents on the Kindle. They're still being published 400 years later. And I just wonder, if we didn't have this, would we be talking about it now? All the more reason, right, to write it down. Who keeps a diary? Anybody? Beloved keeps a diary. I keep a diary. I'm thinking, yeah, I wonder, that diary, when I go back and I read my diary, I'm just horrified. Nobody could be saved out of my diaries, you know what I'm saying? But the fact is that still, just like the people that were, you know, in the video that you saw the little clip of, it is still a handbook on how to do missions work. He published the diaries in 1749, and Brainerd's life is a vivid, powerful testimony to the truth that God can and does use weak, sick, discouraged, beat down, lonely, struggling saints who cry to him day and night to accomplish amazing things for his glory. That's the bottom line. And Brainerd struggled. He struggled. Constant sickness, measles, this. For those of us, and we're in a congregation where this rings very true. A lot of people struggling with chronic issues. He struggled with them. Recurring depression. He struggled with loneliness. A very lonely thing for him to be ministering by himself to a people group that he didn't really know, didn't speak the language. How do you do that? How do you do that? But he did it, and he was faithful. And he struggled to love the Indians that he'd been called to serve. And they did love him and accepted him. And he eventually had a congregation of about 130 people. But he stayed true to his calling, because he had a passion to finish well. And I just, you know, we could watch that video, but we only have a limited amount of time here. So I wanted to read two excerpts, because they talk in this video about, a lot of people are pretty turned off. When you read this diary, because this is him writing, and he's not expecting anyone to read his diaries. He's writing for himself, and he's writing to God. And in fact, right before his death, he burned two of the original volumes of his story. So I think that there's even parts missing. But what we have, it's fascinating. Fascinating. Welcome back. We're talking about David Brainerd. I mean, I'm just going to read you two, because when you're reading this, it's like, OMG, this person is really, really struggling, you can tell. But it's very, very manic depressive, because he's very, very down and he's very, very up. So I'm going to read to you sort of side by side, just to get a little flavor of what his diaries are like. This was written at one of his low points. Thursday, April 7th, 1743. Appeared to myself exceedingly ignorant, weak, helpless, unworthy, and altogether unequal to my work. it seemed to me I should never do any service or have any success among the Indians. My soul was weary of my life. I longed for death beyond measure. When I thought of any godly soul departed, my soul was ready to envy him. Like, oh darn, he died. This is the very depressed person saying these things. Thinking, okay, Lord, when is my turn? When's my turn to die, Lord? Oh my goodness. Must it be years? Must I wait years? But I know these ardent desires at this and other times rose partly for want of resignation to God under all miseries, and so were but impatience. Towards night, I had the exercise of faith in prayer and some assistance in writing. Oh, that God would keep me near him. Okay, now there's a little, here's more of an up one. This one being written just a couple months later, in August 13th of 1743. Was enabled in secret prayer to raise my soul to God with desire and delight. It was indeed a blessed season for my soul. I found the comfort of a Christian and counted the sufferings of this present life not worthy to be compared with the glory of divine enjoyment, even in this world. All my past sorrows seemed kindly to disappear, and I remember no more sorrow for joy. Oh, how kindly and with a filial tenderness the soul confides with the Rock of Ages. It's such a season that he will never leave or never forsake it, that he will cause all things to work together for you. Where is that verse from? He will cause all things to work together for the good. All you good Christians know where that is, right?
Right.
Not you, Don. Anybody else but Don. Where is that verse from? It was written by Paul.
Well, then it's an
S. It begins with an R.
It's in
Romans. Kelly got it. She's putting
her to shame.
Between 7 and 9.
It's between 7 and 9.
Between verses 27 and 29.
It's Romans 8:28. Very good. So he's writing this even in the midst of all of, you know, the hardships that he's going through. And I mean, but this is 400 years ago. There's no Facebook. There's no internet. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I can't. I'm just fascinated by this. I long that others should know how good a God the Lord is. My soul was full of tenderness and love, even to the most inveterate of my enemies. I longed that they should share in the same mercy, and loved that God should do just as he pleased with me and everything else. I felt exceedingly serious, calm, peaceful, and encouraged to press after holiness as long as I live, whatever difficulties and trials may be in my way. May the Lord always help me to do so. Amen and amen. Shouldn't we pray that, regardless of all the difficulties that we're going through, Lord, you can still use me. Amen. And 400 years later, maybe people will be talking about you too. So I just wanted to wrap up sort of with this thought. Some of the fruit of Brainerd's afflictions, in fact, because Yale would not have him back, there were people in a position to do this that actually started
universities that we still know today. Ever hear of Princeton? Ever hear of Dartmouth? Dartmouth and Princeton, these are Ivy League schools. These are Ivy League schools that would not have been started had he not have been thrown out of jail. Just saying, the Lord does these things, right? He made a profound personal impact on the author. And in fact, when we watch the video, I hope we maybe can watch the video sometime. It's about an hour long. But fascinating, because they go to the grave site. They go looking for his grave. And they can't find it, because has anyone ever been in a really old cemetery? I grew up in Ohio. We had all the old cemeteries everywhere. Just sort of falling down, you can't even really read the headstones. Had anyone ever been, that we've been here long enough in Texas. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like
the old cemeteries, yeah.
Yes, and you just like, wonder, what is this person? What's their story? So they're looking for his headstone. And they actually had an app for that. They said, we had to look it up with an app. And it's just, I didn't put a picture because I didn't know what I was looking at. But it's not even like a headstone. It's just a stone on the ground.
With markings.
It's just a marker.
Yeah.
It's just a green marker. Thing. And they, like etched with maybe raised letters that have been all worn down by the weather. And it's covered with leaves. It breaks your heart. And they have the wrong date on there that he died. I mean, there's a typo. It's like, God, this person that did so much is basically in an unmarked grave. And people are still, 400 years later, seeking it out. That's the miracle. He had an immeasurable impact on missions. Perhaps the reason why I didn't ever read about him was that wasn't really the track that I was studying at seminary. It was more Christian education. But I'm sure that they studied in missions. And our prayer is that, our prayer was then and is now that God would grant us the persevering grace to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all peoples. Life is too precious to squander on trivial things. So grant us, Lord, the unswerving, unwavering resolve to pray and to live with David Brainerd's urgency. Oh, that I might never labor on my heavenly journey. You know, and I just, this morning, I was just thinking about this. I just could not stop thinking about him. And I'm thinking, I'm David Brainerd. I'm David Brainerd. You're David Brainerd. We're David Brainerd, right? We are struggling, many of us, with multiple issues, depression. And God can still use us. So that's the encouragement that I want us to take away. There's a place for Billy Graham's, but there's a greater place, I believe, for David Brainerd's. So I just pray for us to be encouraged by that. And I'm just going to wrap it up with a prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Edith. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your example that you've given us to encourage us. That, hey, if you can use someone like that, you can use someone like me. So my prayer is that we grab hold of that and we let you do an awesome work in us and through us. For your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.